Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver, hi. You know, obviously, I'm massively stressed out for this game tonight because of that number. A lot of places, seven. I saw it on FanDuel at 6.5 today. That's where it was all week. And, you know, I don't care about the preseason. I just know that their whole team is gone, the Seahawks. They don't have a quarterback. I don't believe in Geno Smith or Drew Locke. Smith's playing tonight. If the, you know, Broncos are this vaunted Super Bowl favorite, vaunted AFC West favorite, vaunted defense, vaunted quarterback, the greatest quarterback that ever lived, that's what they're treating him like. They just gave him $250 million. So, you know, and he played in Seattle and won a Super Bowl there, went to two Super Bowls. This guy's got to go back there tonight and win this game by two touchdowns. That's just all there is to it. If he goes in there and lays an egg, it's just not going to go over well.
Yes, the NFL gets a big hype machine for their first Monday Night Football game with Russell going back there, Scotty. I do have an update for you on that number. I'll give that to you after we hear from Russell Wilson. Of course, he will always love his time in Seattle. Here's Wilson.
I think that at the end of the day, you know, hopefully, you know, after 10 years of trying to make a difference there and, you know, winning a lot of football games and all of us doing it together, I think that was really special. And I think also too, you know, Seattle will always, you know, mean the world to me. You know, it'll always forever be home for me. It'll always be a special place in my heart, obviously. And so, you know, and like I said, I have some amazing teammates there. You know, the thing I think about, you know, everybody talks about the games and all that stuff.
Ooh, he's got the Honda.
You know, everything. But the thing that really mattered to me most was just, you know, bringing my daughter back home to, you know, Seattle, bringing Little Future, bringing Wynn when, you know, when he was first born, and just those moments, those memories, you know, the Seattle Children's kids that you meet, you know.
Yeah, we don't care about that.
Our kids are our school. Why not U Academy? That's what life's about. And
no,
people
don't
love you, they're going to hate you sometimes, whatever
that
it may be.
Orange Bronco hat he's
got. You know,
nice
I know that for me, I'll forever have love in my heart for Seattle.
Yeah.
Always. That's great. That's so great. I used to take the I forget the name of it. It was the Starlight Express, I believe, from Seattle to Los Angeles. I used to get on the midnight train out of Seattle back to Lipstick City. Wake up along the Pacific Coast. The entire ride is beautiful. Even the part where they go by San Quentin, you see all the prisoners out in the yard lifting weights and playing basketball. Great train ride. Drink the whole way, smoking fatties out the window. Great experience. Love Seattle. Great city. I don't care about his kids or the children in the city or anything else. I need you to cover 6.5 tonight there, Chipper.
What's the time on that train ride, Scotty, for that bullet from Seattle down to Lipstick City? What do they get for that?
You get in at like 3 p.m. It's midnight. You get in at around 3 p.m. into SoCal, into like Anaheim.
It's a hefty ride. It's a hefty ride. I like that. There you go. You get a look at
it's fun, though.
Coastline. So you're looking for him to, of course, cover this number tonight for you. I will give you an updated number over at BetMGM, which is now Broncos -6. So from 7, 6.5, 6 is what I've got up to the second here with a total of 44. Down another half.
Listen, I got to tell everybody I'm for all on a bench. You got to get that happy off of there. Take that fat off that steak. We welcome all of our radio affiliates to the program. We're gambling heavily today on Coast to Coast, as usual. It's SiriusXM, Sports Map, Sports Byline. Hello, everybody.
So, yes, minus 6, 44 of the total for the Broncos and the Seahawks tonight.
Geno, who do you like, Smith, Carver High?
The number scares me. I'm not going to lie to you. I really do believe that Wilson should go up there and just whack this team. Feels like he should do that. Why is it going in the other direction? Like, what am I missing here? That's what I'm trying to wrap my head around.
I'm on Denver. Okay. And the number's 43. That number's low to me too. You said you were going over to Rainbow.
I'm going over. I like the over.
If he's so good, they should put 34 on the board, and then I can get 10 from Seattle. And that's all I need to hit the over and the Seahawks.
You know what, then? I'll ride with you. What does Russ say in all those dopey videos? Let's ride. Russ tonight. Minus the 6 now.
Ciara's hot.
The 44. Yes. Well, you nicely told him that when you saw him.
I told him that right to his face. And then did you see her at the U.S. Open? I was screaming at the TV to see if I could get her attention. She's so smoking hot. Honestly, you know, my wife does that to me all the time. I'll be watching movies or something or TV, and she'll see some hot guy, and she's like, I want to sleep with him. And then I'm like, oh, okay. Well, then I'm going to do it back, forehand, cross court. I want a little CR. Remember, we were at the Super Bowl. I don't want to interview you. I want to interview your wife.
Yeah, that's it. He was making the rounds. You were looking for Ciara. Jamal Adams is ready to go for the Seahawks tonight, and we do have the prop boat for this game, Scotty. We will deal with that during the lion's share coming up later this hour. You didn't think we weren't going to have props for the Broncos and the Seahawks tonight. We've got you covered with that in a little while. But when we come back, Scotty, we will start talking about some of the carnage in college football over the weekend. What a weekend for the Sun Belt, winning in Lincoln, South Bend, College Station, all over the place.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So I was doing in-game live all access with Cam on Saturday, and you can catch me every Saturday at noon, every Sunday at 1, NFL style pain day with Morenci. You got to catch us on in-game live all access. It is chaos central. But anyway, we were all over that Alabama game in Austin against the Longhorns. It was great. Back and forth, crazy. I thought Texas outplayed Alabama the whole day, and you knew when they got that ball back, they were going to win that game. You just knew he was going to take them down the field, and they were going to kick a field goal and win the game, and that's exactly what they did. But they certainly didn't cover that fat number.
They certainly did not. I'm with you. I thought that Texas really performed well. Even when Ewers went out, and he went out with the shoulder, I thought they were done after that. Because they first couple drives he was in the game, they were moving the football. They were playing really well. Maybe they would have won if he doesn't get hurt. But give the kid that came in for him credit, that Hudson Card, held him in. But unfortunately, Scotty, they left just a little bit too much time for Alabama to come down the field. And when you have the reigning Heisman-winning quarterback like Alabama does in Bryce Young, he makes things happen like he did here on Fox.
Young, under pressure. Plays contained. Young runs it. Young, first down. Trophy winner, Bryce Young, a 19-yard gain.
So I know they don't care about the spreads. All they care about is W's, and they got it done, and they're still, undefeated, and they never get penalized in the polls. Even if they lose, no. they don't drop more than one spot ever. I mean, they are God's gift to America as college football supremacy. They run the roost. And, you know, watch what happens to Notre Dame after losing to Marshall. They're done in the top 25, right? And I said last week Oregon should have been out for that performance against Georgia. I couldn't even believe they were, you know, and I thought they were. It depended on what poll you were talking about. But Notre Dame's season ended on Saturday in South Bend against Marshall.
It certainly did. Irish lose at home. The home opener for Marcus Freeman, not one to remember. Marshall comes in and gets the job done, 26-21. And let's be honest, it wasn't even that close. Here's this kid Gilmore on Marshall putting it away with a pick six of Tyler Buckner on NBC.
Here's Buckner. Pressure coming. Buckner stands in and fires his balls. Intercepted. Gilmore down the sideline. Pick six. Gilmore.
I mean, you know, I have been going to Notre Dame games for the better part of 45, 50 years, literally since I was a little boy. And I lived near South Bend, and I was lucky. My dad was good friends with Dan Devine. So I've been going to games my whole life. I saw Joe Montana play every game he ever played at Notre Dame. But this may be one of the worst ones ever. This one's right up there. Top five stinker loss of all time for Notre Dame at home. I don't care what anybody says. Marshall's a good team. They got no business beating Notre Dame and South Bend. So that's all you need to know. And this guy, Freeman, I mean, to tell you, he is losing weight. He's not even sleeping at night. His wife won't even talk to him. His dog bit him in the ankle because he's lost his first three games. No one's ever done that at Notre Dame. No one's ever lost their first three games. They lost that Fiesta Bowl he should have never lost to Oklahoma State. They lost in Columbus, and now they've lost to Marshall at home, and now they've lost their quarterback. But here's a newsflash for you.
Yeah.
Buckner sucked anyway. He was a terrible quarterback, and now they got an even worse one playing. Their season's over.
Their season is finished. Buckner was awful. Now he's done for the year, has the shoulder injury, happened a little bit after that pick six that we just played. For Freeman, though, and Drew Pine is awful. They might not win six games with Drew Pine as the quarterback. That's how bad
Will
he
they
is.
Cover against Cal?
I don't know.
I doubt it.
Here's the problem. I haven't seen in two games now the offense do anything that makes you think that they're going to put points on the board. Even, I mean, Cal should have better athletes than Marshall, right? I mean, Cal should have come, even though Cal sucks in the Pac-12, they should come in with some better people than Marshall just did, and you just couldn't move the ball against them. Here's Freeman's problem also, and we talked about this when he was hired. Notre Dame took a very big risk making this guy the head coach when he had never been a head coach in his life, and you're seeing a little bit of it now. I'm not saying, Scotty, he's never going to be a good head coach. I mean, hell, he's in his late 30s. No, time will tell, but there's no time to learn at Notre Dame. You got to come in, and you got to win, all right? And if you don't win, you're not going to have a job anymore. I don't care how old you are or how promising you are. That's just the way that it goes.
I get all this. The hiring was controversial. African-American coach, never coached. He was an assistant. He was a defensive, you know, whiz, whatever you want to call him. But here's the deal. It doesn't matter if you're black, orange, purple, green, yellow. If you lose at Notre Dame and you just got hired and your entire first season is an abortion, believe me, they will fire him at the end of this year. They're going to have to because it's already starting in South Bend. They are abusing him right now as we speak. We're on the air talking about him. They're doing the same thing in South Bend on the radio, on the TV, in the newspapers. And believe me, on campus, they already want him gone. He's been there 5 minutes.
Couple of other big upsets. We mentioned the Sun Belt had a good weekend. App State, who lost a crazy 65-63 game the week before at home to North Carolina, now wins at College Station against the Texas A&M 17-14 on Saturday. So awful performance by Jimbo Fisher losing that game. Wisconsin lost at home to Washington State 17-14. Pac-12 team coming in and taking care of business in Madtown. Vols beat Pitt 34-27 in overtime. Crazy first half. Slowed down in the second half. A fun overtime. Texas Tech beat Houston in double OT. I mean, Fourth and 20 for Texas Tech. All the Cougars got to do is get a stop, and they couldn't get it done. And that's the second week in a row Houston played some crazy double overtime game. I thought it was going to be very hard for them to get out of both of them. And can the Texas Tech fans calm down, Scotty, storming the field and ripping the goalpost down? They were favored in the game. They were the favorite. Why are we destroying the place? Oh, jeez.
I bet on them on the money line to win the game, right? And when it was fourth and 20, I was out of commission. I can't even believe that they got a 21-yard gain. And then Houston went down to the three. They stopped them. They kicked the field goal. And then they got the ball, threw a first down, threw another first down. But then there was a penalty, and they moved him back to the nine, and then he quarterback snuck it in, Smith, and I hit that bet. I mean, I was running around my house, and the language was deplorable because I hit Tennessee in overtime laying six, and they win by seven at Pitt where the Steelers play. And then I hit the Texas Tech game 5 minutes later, and I was on easy street. I hit 10 of the 15 biggest college football bets of the day on Saturday, so I was loving life.
Here's the hat trick for the Sun Belt Conference, and it also ends up being Scott Frost's last game on the sidelines for Nebraska. We love homerized Milk Toast radio calls, especially when small schools like Georgia Southern go to Lincoln and get the job done. Here we go.
Second and goal from the 8.5. Eagles have one Power 5 victory all time at Florida in 2013. They've been so close so many times. Time to take a bigger bite out of this cornstalk. White out of the backfield, left five wide. Draw play. Van Treese at the five. Van Treese stretches. Did he score? Wings up, Eagle Nation. Touchdown, Georgia Southern. Kyle Van Treese from 8 yards out. The Eagles take the lead with 36 seconds left.
Your boy lost it there. That was great. And listen, Clay Helton. Right, is the coach there.
Clay Helton.
He got fired.
Yep.
And they gave him millions to go away. Now he's at Georgia Southern. Huge win for him. I thought, I really do think Scott Frost is the worst football coach I've ever seen in my life. I said that to you a million times on this show. He should have been fired.
He gets 15 million for getting thrown out the door. 15 million.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Know your prey. This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
All right, Carver High, we've been making people a fortune on the Lion's Share almost on a daily basis for months now. You said Friday was enormous. I mean, what else is new?
Yeah, for the NFL, which we did on Friday going into the weekend, we did obviously two passing, two rushing, two receiving, 5-1 on those six plays.
Sorry about that one we got wrong.
The one we got wrong was Harris, who obviously, you know, was hurt in the game for the Steelers as well. So it is what it is on that. Oh, and Kareem Hunt had a touchdown at plus 180 also, if we wanted to ring the bell. He had two, actually, I believe. But we rang the bell.
He had one.
With Kareem Hunt for the Browns in that game. Let's get into tonight. We will start with NFL because we have Monday Night Football, Broncos and the Seahawks. Russell Wilson returns to Seattle. 255.5 for Russ tonight, Scotty. Minus 120 to the over, minus 110 to the under. I'm feeling over because we're hoping that they blow them out and he wants to show off in his old town.
You know, I think his average normally is 245, and that's why they're pushing that 10 more yards on this bet. And, you know, I got to tell you, to win this game in Seattle, I think he's going to have to do it. He's going to have to go 260-plus. So I'll go for it with you, but it's not going to be easy. He always lands around 245 for some reason.
Next, Geno Smith on the other side making the start for Seattle. This morning, Scotty, I caught this at 208.5, up to 212. and a half now. Minus 115 to the over, minus 115 to the under. We could put in a couple of different theories here. One of them maybe, Seahawks down double digits in the second half, and they are looking to throw the football. Although that's a very vaunted Denver defense, as we get told all the time.
Yeah, how about they pick him off? I don't see it. I would have bet the under at 208.
Rushing, Javonte Williams, of course, a lot of expectations for him coming into this season after a good rookie year. He's got 58.5 down now to 57.5 for tonight, minus 115 both ways here. I like the over for Williams tonight.
Yeah, I like the over as well because I don't believe Seattle is good on either side of the ball.
For the Seahawks in the running game, Rashad Penny, as long as he can stay on the field, another guy who's made of glass, but he's healthy tonight, 68.5 as the main back for Seattle. This one, Scotty, I will look to the underside, under 68.5 for Penny tonight.
Yeah, I think they're going to have trouble throwing and running the ball. I'm going to go under with you.
Receivers, DK Metcalf gets himself a fat new deal from Seattle in the offseason. He's got Geno Smith throwing him the football now, of course. Was 56.5, up a tick to 57.5 now. Minus 115 each way here. They got Tyler Lockett still as well. I like DK with the over, and here's one of the reasons why, Scotty. 56.5, that can be one that him and Geno connect for on just one play. You know, that's kind of, because he's such a good deep threat, that's one that maybe you can get on one shot. That's why I like it.
Yeah, I like the over there. He's a good player. He is their best player, and they gave him all that money, and they're going to throw it to him a lot. I think he'll get over that number. He'll be their best player tonight. Now, look, even if they win this game tonight in Seattle and upset the Broncos, I still think they suck the rest of the year. I mean it. I do not buy them at all. There was a lot of people that felt nationally that they'd be, if not the worst team in the league, one of the, you know, three worst teams at worst, right? Like, you know, at best, even any way you slice it. So I'm not buying them one way or the other. If they win tonight, I still don't buy them at all. So everyone, if they win tonight, everybody's drunk leaving that stadium and all those 12-man fans think they got something brewing. No, you don't.
For the Broncos receiving side, we'll go with Jerry Jeudy. You could probably go a couple ways here. Cortland Sutton, as we know, has been talked about a lot too. Jeudy's actually now down to 58.5, minus 115 both ways. I think that Wilson gets both of these guys involved early and often tonight. I'm good with the over 58.5 for Jeudy, Scotty.
I think he'll have over 100.
Ooh, that's what we like to hear. A little over a hundy. A little hundy spot for Jeudy tonight. We can find some action on that as well.
And a touchdown. Here.
Well, let's get the tutties going. We can go anytime for Jeudy. I believe it was in the plus 115 range, plus 120 for Jeudy tonight to score a touchdown. Here's what else I'm giving you on the Broncos side for tonight. We mentioned Javonte Williams with the rushing yards. He is allegedly the lead back. But Melvin Gordon is still there, Scotty. And I got a feeling Hackett might use Gordon the way that he was using A.J. Dillon with the Packers when he was the O.C. there. Gordon inside the five, looking to pound it when they're at the goal line, plus a $1.50 for Melvin Gordon tonight. And, hey, you want Geno to throw a pick? How about a pick to the house for plus 350 for the Bronco defense or special teams tonight? Let's get them in the end zone, Scotty, for the big wood.
You know, I would love to hit both of those bets. I believe in the Gordon bet, though. This guy has scored so many touchdowns. That's all he does. He just keeps scoring touchdowns. That's why he's still got a job there, is because he scores touchdowns. I like that Gordon by more than that D touchdown, but I would love to see pick six hizzy for you or special teams. I'd love to see it.
You're always taking a shot when it comes to the defense special touchdown market there. That's always a shot. Gordon, I feel a lot better about along with you.
Minka Fitzpatrick yesterday with that game-starting pick six hizzy. I was, like, pulling my pants down. Like, I can't even tell you. You know, there were so many. Did you see the sack of Jones and the scoop and score by the Dolphins? There was all kinds of big plays yesterday. And I'll tell you, the other anytime or TD I had was that last second, no time left on the clock, touchdown by Ja'Marr Chase. I had him and my son riding an anytimer right there for about a hundo.
Wow, the last second hit for Chase yesterday. Unfortunately for the Bengals, though, Scotty, they didn't get that extra point. But at least they got the Chase tutty for you, and the Steelers ended up winning. So there's
Minka
some Monday
that
night.
Minka,
that was like the Minka game yesterday.
He was a player of the week in the NFL for
he
me.
I don't disagree with you.
Defensively.
I know they do. What do they do? Offensive and defensive player of the week? If he has to be the defensive player of the week. There's just nobody else. Who else compares with that? The guy had the pick six, and he blocked the extra point that would have won the game for the Bengals. Tremendous effort, and that's why they pay him all that money, Scotty. All right, there you go. Monday Night Football lion's share for us. We weren't going to leave you out in the cold with the baseball, Scotty. We're still in the mix with the strikeouts and the home runs. Did you like Reese Hoskin ringing the bell on Friday night while we were all worried about football? Yeah, you sure did. Let's go tonight with the K's. Framber Valdez, once again, he has been excellent for us. Up to 6.5, doesn't matter. He's over that in 6 of his last 8 starts. Had 7 against the Tigers back in May. Berrios for the Jays, 4.5 is the number. He's under in 4 of his last 6, had 3 in his only start against the Rays. I'm going under with Berrios tonight with the 4.5. Anderson for the Dodgers, 4.5. Berrios actually down to 3.5 now, and I do not care. I will still take the under. Tyler Anderson for the Dodgers, 4.5. Under in 7 of his 8 last starts. But 6-8, Scotty, in his 2 starts against the Diamondbacks this year, who he faces tonight. Maybe we could sneak an over with Tyler Anderson and God, Spencer Strider. What more can you say, Scotty? 16-9 his last 2 starts. 7.5. Let's take the over with him.
Listen, I'm over on all 4 of these guys. I think Berrios is going to do it in Rogers Center against the Rays, who had a horrible series in the Bronx. Now they go up there. It's a big series for both of them. I think Berrios and the Jays win. I think Tyler Anderson goes over that number easily. And I think Spencer Strider tonight dominates in that game late night. And I think they beat the Giants. And not only that, I think they beat them easy. I laid a 1.5.
Let's go. And finally, we'll finish off the lion's share with Tater Time. Scotty, let's hit some home runs tonight in Major League Baseball. We will start with Alex Bregman for the Astros, plus 425 tonight. How does he do against Eduardo Rodriguez? How's 5-for-18 with 2 home runs against him? Plus 425 for him. Jose Ramirez of the Guardians, 2-for-4 off of Detmers with a home run. Good price, plus 350 there. Pete Alonso, little polar bear action at Citi Field with the Cubbies in town, plus 230. And Christian Walker, Scotty, we're going back. Plus 500 for Christian Walker. He beats up Anderson. 7-for-21 with a homer off him. Dodgers may win. Anderson may go over 4.5. Walker homers at 5-1.
I'm not going to argue with you. I'm leaning more on those top 3 than I am Walker tonight. I think the Dodgers, you know, there's one thing I said to myself when I was watching them beat up on the Padres again, was that, remember they lost 5-4 on Friday night or whatever in extras? And a walk-off, I said to myself Saturday, I go, they never lose 2 in a row. And then they turn around and won again on Sunday and kick their ass. And they're going to go kick the Diamondbacks' ass, too.
They can't beat the Dodgers to save their lives, the Padres. It is amazing how they could just never
beat they're not going
that
anywhere.
Team. They are not. In fact, they're only 2 up on Milwaukee now for the last wild card spot. So they've let the Brewers kind of create some space there for them as well. We will do more baseball later on Coast to Coast, Scotty, because how about Albert getting 2 this weekend up to 697? Albert getting a little closer. 3 to go.
He's going to get it. Oh, he's going to get it, all right. So is Judge.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There's no one I like talking to more on Coast to Coast every week than Jason Scott, the VP of Trading at BetMGM, and I mean that. He's cool. So, Jason, I want to throw you a curveball here and ask you about, like, the thing I was just talking to you about in a break. Is there a – do you feel that there's a perception that bettors have to – they just have to get a piece of these primetime, nationally televised games – no matter what, they just have to be in on it. Alabama and Texas, or, you know, the Saturday night primetime, Utah, Florida the week before, do they just have to get a piece of those big games? Whereas I'm over here sliding on Texas Tech, Memphis, Liberty, the Mississippi State late kickoff at Arizona, the Oklahoma State game. You know, I went for Army and it was devastating. I don't know what was worse, the Appalachian State 63-61 the week before for me, or the Army game up 28-14 at West Point on a beautiful Saturday in the, you know, in the woods of New York. They got the San Antonio Roadrunners by the throat, up two touchdowns, and they lose that game in overtime. It made me sick to my stomach. Do bettors have to be on those giant games? And do you think maybe I got something here by staying away from those and going on all these other rides?
Look, I'm glad you mentioned Appalachian State. They're one of my favorites after Saturday. Look, there's no doubt looking at our figures, we'd won enough money by 12 o'clock Pacific time with Alabama and Ohio State not covering. So we see, in terms of bet count and dollars spent, the same six teams every week, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Notre Dame are always over bet. And then in the late game, doesn't matter where they play, USC, and again this week, USC, Stanford, the money we saw there was huge on Saturday. Now, whether you've got an advantage, I'm not sure. The majority of the money on all of these is for the favorites at the giving the start. So they want to take the spread. They want to give the 22, the 28, the 46, whatever it is. But they're certainly the most popular and common bets that we see.
What kind of a killing did you make, the hizzy, on Texas and Marshall?
Yeah, well, Marshall was the big one. You know, I was a little upset at the end of the Texas game when they threw that away, because if I could have knocked out all those chalk parlays that early on a Saturday, the rest of the day's gravy. But again, we would have won enough on Alabama not covering in the first half to get us through the game. Would have been a profit. Obviously, that covering was good, and we won a poultice people in play thinking Alabama were going to kick in. I think that's the best in play numbers we've ever seen. I think we won 80-something% of handle. And then Marshall, obviously, they did help and knock out the chalk parlays with beating at Notre Dame. Yeah, it was their best Saturday we've ever had. So yeah, it was very strong.
Wow, I bet it was. How about, like, some of these heavies not covering? Ohio State didn't cover. It goes on and on. Those giant numbers. I got to tell you, I hit a bunch of them on the other side. I bet against Clemson with Furman and hit. I just, it's like they invite them in and they're not. And I even hit Hawaii at 52. It's like they invite them in and give them $1 million to bend over. Don't grab the soap. And then they cover for you on the other side.
Yeah, well, Michigan sat up a bit late there, didn't they? I mean, there was others. I think Coastal Carolina were 35.5 point favorites and won by a field goal, a late field goal.
Yeah.
At that. So it was a weekend where we saw plenty of upsets. And it's interesting, though, the first week most of the chalk and the top 10 teams covered. So college kids, you never know what you're going to get from week to week.
What's it like, the handle, so people can understand a Saturday with, you know, 100 games, hypothetically, as opposed to the NFL pain day schedule on Sunday? What's it like for the house, the difference?
Yeah, look, we probably held 25% more on a Sunday than we did on a Saturday. And a lot of that comes from Sunday night football. Sunday night football yesterday was triple any other game in terms of handle. So those that are winning, bet up and send their winnings around. Those that are losing, go to the well and find some more money to try and punch out. So there's no more games for people to save their money more for the week. So they just send it around. And with the Bucks winning, they've got money in their account and it'll get sent around tonight on the Broncos.
So I was way up on Saturday. And then Sunday I leveled off and evened out. And then my buddy was like, let's, you know, he was going for that Dallas, you know, hook at halftime by a hook, and they couldn't do anything. They were so anemic. How much did people bet on Tampa over Dallas? I'm guessing it was huge, right?
It wasn't as bad as you would think. I think because we had a winning day, we'd had a big Saturday. Sunday was good with, well, the Bears winning, the Steelers winning, the Giants winning, Houston getting half a win against the Colts. So people are behind, and then we find that they tend to back the outsiders. They look for player props to try and get out. So although it was a loser, it wasn't horrific for us. And Dallas are a very popular team, regardless of where they are. We always see that they're overbet. So we lost last night, but we got out of it fairly scot-free.
What was the, like, do you see, like, numbers in Pennsylvania with, you know, BetMGM in terms of, like, those Steeler fans? Did a lot of them bet on them with that, you know, seven-piece against the Bengals? That was the craziest football game of the day with all those missed kicks and the block kicks and the pick six hizzies and everything. You saw everything that could happen in a game happened in that game. I lost, like, 3 years of my life watching my Steelers.
Tell me you didn't give up when you like when they hit the post there with what 2.5 minutes to go. I didn't think there was any coming back when they hit the upright. No, actually, if you look at our numbers yesterday, there was three states that stood out where we made less money than anywhere else, and it was Pennsylvania, Illinois, and New York. So the Bears, Giants, and Steelers are all very popular teams, as you know, in those jurisdictions, and people still bet them. And
I was at a fancy restaurant watching the Giants game, right? And I bet on the Titans. And I mean, my language was deplorable. The bill was $1,500 for dinner. And I said, I don't give a rat's effing ass what I'm paying for dinner. You're going to listen to me cuss for the rest of the time I'm here after what I just saw. They were up 13-0 and they decided to like hang themselves. I don't understand. Even the Chargers, I had them laying 3.5. And I knew it was 17-3. I looked at my son. I'm like, you eating that? I ate one of his big shrimps. And I said, this game will be tied in about 7 minutes. Because the NFL, everything you think is going to happen never happens.
No, that's dead right. I too, was desperate for the Giants, obviously, for the book. They couldn't move the ball in that first quarter. Then they sort of got Barkley involved out of that and the whole game changed. But The Chargers were very well bet yesterday for the game and to win the Super Bowl. They're probably one of our three worst results. So I would have liked to have seen the Raiders come back. I was against you there, Scotty.
Yeah, well, you lose. So the Ravens, Lions, and Chiefs, what did that do to the hizzy?
Yeah, look, it was less than ideal. But what we did get was as long as I can get one favorite beaten in each slate to stop all the parlays, because obviously once the 49ers have beaten the Bears, the Colts had sort of got half their parlay stolen. We mentioned the Steelers, people reloaded into the four favorites in the late game: the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Titans, and the Vikings. The Vikings started 2-point favorites. So once we got one of those favorites done, it didn't really hurt us. The Ravens game, Jets, was the most one-sided money bet we've had since we've been betting on NFL. It was nearly 91% to the Ravens. No one thought the Jets could cover or bet them to win either.
Wow. So I wanted to give you a couple of my props that I hit. I had Mariota over 24.5, boom, rushing. And I had Amon-Ra St. Brown over 6.5 catches. Boom, landed at 7. And then I had Chase with the anytime touchdown with 1 second left on the clock. He scored the touchdown. What were some of the best prop bets that you saw on Sunday?
Well, we might go back a little bit further. We'll go back to Thursday. Whatever happened there with Cam Akers was not a very well-kept secret. We laid the under carries, the under yards. People could not get enough money on them there. So something snuck out that he was going to get 3 carries for no yards. Well, they wouldn't have known about the no yards, but he clearly wasn't the number one running back chosen, and that was fairly clear. Saquon Barkley was really well bet yesterday. You know, he'd shown a little bit in preseason. And the other one that was our friend AJ Brown down there in Philly. There was a lot of money bet for the props, and he had it very, very early in the game.
So what do you do with a guy like Mahomes that's just humiliating people? I mean, what are you going to deal with him? That guy, everybody and their brother's going to bet on him to do things.
Yeah, look, I'm a Cardinals fan, and we've decimated ourselves in terms of some of the roster decisions and injuries. So probably it didn't come as a huge shock to me what happened yesterday. He's gonna be bad. But you know, if he and Kelce cover, we know that's part of the game. For every good game, the totals get up there, and sometimes it's hard to get 360, 370 yards or whatever he's gonna end up on by midseason. We might sneak a win here and there.
What are we looking at tonight? What are the numbers telling you tonight? It's gone from 6.5 to 7 down to 6. And where's all the action? Are people actually buying into the Seattle team?
A lot of the pros are. So the money's pretty much one way to Denver. It got to 7. I half thought it might keep going and get to 7.5. But some of the big syndicates around the country stepped in, took the touchdown head start, and I think it'll start around 6, 6.5. I think we'll see. Usually on these Monday night games, we see a plethora of money come late for the favorite from the public. Going to be surprised if that's not the case tonight.
What do you think of that total? Are you interested in that at all? Like, do you think this guy, Wilson's going to go in there and put up some numbers and some points?
I prefer to be on the unders. I can't see. I watched enough of Geno Smith last year to work out that he's not going to send that ball there. Downfield very much. I can't see where Seattle score more than 12, 14 points. I prefer to be on the unders myself. And the money's slightly more to the overs, but that's if we don't see 55, 60% of money to the overs, it's like the unders are more popular.
That Chiefs-Charger game Thursday should be a big hit for you.
Can't wait. I mean, again, the total there, could anything could happen if those two guys get on their game. So, look, on the back of this week, they were two of the more impressive teams, I thought, even though the Chargers let the Raiders back in late when they probably didn't need to.
You think the Raiders will turn it around this week? I see that they're laying 4.5.
Well, they're playing the Cardinals, so I'm just not sure without Hopkins. And, you know, they've just let too many good players go that I prefer to be on the Raiders and the Cardinals, even giving that start.
Real quick, Jason, what happened in terms of the betting with that screwed up UFC card Saturday night at the T-Mobile where they changed all the fights?
What a debacle, and I wish it hadn't happened. Where was our biggest ever loss, Diaz versus Tony Ferguson? I don't know where they got him from, if he hadn't trained or whatever, but everybody seemed to know, and it was one-way action, and we had a seven-figure loss there. Look, it's mayhem when things like that happen. We just got to roll with the punches, give all the money back on the bets that have happened, get the new markets and the new prices up quickly and hold our breath and hope. And we obviously didn't hope hard enough here and got beaten.
Well, I'll tell you what, now fans can get $1,000 risk-free bet if they use the promo code COAST2COAST with the number 2, COAST, the number 2, COAST. Use the bonus code COAST2COAST, $1,000 free bet. You're styling, risk-free. Get on BetMGM. Jason, you're a badass. See you next week, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, it's time for Today in Carver High History.
Certainly is. 1976, Jimmy Connors wins his second U.S. Open. He beat Bjorn Borg. 1979, Carl Yastrzemski reaches 3,000 career hits. 82, Jimmy Connors wins his fourth Open. This time he beat Yvon Lendl. 84, the Bulls signed Michael Jordan. How'd that work out? Also in 84, Dwight Gooden strikes out 16 batters to break the MLB rookie strikeout record. 92, Monica Seles won. 93, Pete Sampras won his second U.S. Open. 98, Lindsay Davenport wins her first Grand Slam. Remember Lindsay? 1999, Andre Agassi wins his second and final U.S. Open. 2000, Daryl Strawberry sentenced to 2 years house arrest after admitting he violated probation by driving under the influence. Not a good scene. 2004, Roger Federer won his first U.S. Open. He beat Leighton Hewitt. 2005, Mark Messier announces his retirement from the NHL. Jeez, he played that long. 2009, Jack Kramer, former American tennis player, passed away of cancer at 88. The Joker won his first U.S. Open in 2011. David Ortiz hits his 500th home run, 27th player to do it in 2015. I'm sure all of them were clean. Here it is.
Sitting on 499
home runs. You got to air it for me, too?
Ortiz to right field. Back goes Souza. Looking up. It is gone. David Ortiz, the newest member of the 500 club. Big Papi, the greatest clutch hitter in Red Sox history, adds to his resume with number 500.
I mean, what are you, rubbing it in my face?
You think I wanted to hear that? 2020, Osaka wins her second U.S. Open. 2021, Medvedev beat the Joker last year on this day, Scotty. And then this year, they wouldn't let the Joker in. How about that?
And our boy Alcatraz won it on Sunday. He got it done over Casper Ruud. And my wife, as well, reminded me that she wanted to bang Andre Agassi.
Yeah, Alcatraz, 19 years old. Quite the U.S. Open for him.
Great player.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards. Free shipping with no minimum purchase. Triple points on two purchases and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.